I'll be talking about finite array parity and street games, but in only one quarter of an hour. I'll just talk about parity, and at the end of the talk I just claim that I can do the same with street games. So, the overview of my talk is very simple: some definitions, the algorithm, and a conclusion. No, need to...
more. Beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah. Thesis. So, just to be sure of about what we're talking about, we're talking parity game on finite arena. We draw either states as circles and Adam states as squares. I'm playing mean parity because I prefer it, so the smallest color cones. And I suppose that if aims to even states and Adam to odd states. So, to even colors and Adam to odd colors. So there are several kinds of parity games. So there is weak parity that considers each occurring color in the play. So if you see only once, a zero, and then infinitely often one, it's still winning for E, no problem. So there is a very simple polynomial algorithm. And there is a usual parity that considers only the colors that appear infinitely often in the play. So once again, there is positional strategies, and the problem is in P, interco and P, and there is lots of literature about
yeah, well, NP, interco, NP, yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah, well, I was a little carried on. So, finite array parity, the topic of my talk, was introduced in games by Chatterjee and Enzinger in a paper of this year, and the concept is of ultimately bounded delay. So the delay that we're considering, we always side with Eve, is that after odd color, you have to wait for some time before you see a smaller even color. And sometimes this time is infinite, if you don't see an even color later. But most of the time when you are playing parity and you win, it's finite. But the point is that to win, you all don't just want to know that it's finite, but also that it's ultimately bounded. So it's an asymmetric condition. So Eve wins if she can restrict this delay to bound. But Adam can win without this condition, just by making the bound explode and without problem. It's also perfect independence. And the motivation for this game is this kind of graph. Well, obviously, if you're playing usual parity, either you see only two after a finite prefix, or you see infinitely often two, one, and zero. So there's no problem. But in this graph, you can see one, wait for time that goes longer and longer, then see your zero, another one, and then go for even longer. And that could be problematic if that's something that one is I ask you for to write a paper, and zero is you return the paper, then it might be problematic to get to take a longer and longer time to do it. Just to be clear about what we do, this wouldn't be a problem, because you've got a one, then a bounded number of time before you see or not a zero. But as one occurs only once, there's no problem. Similarly, this is not a problem either, because, okay, there is an unbounded loop, but there is no delay in that. When you see a one, you see a zero just after that. So, the result that was presented in the paper went to determinacy for finite array parity and street, a solution that is exponential, quite usual in parity. The proof that SP is in NP, interco NP, that's right. And that in finite array parity, Eve does not need memory, but Adam needs infinite memory. There are also results, similar results for finite array street, but I won't go to it. So I present an improved solution for finite array parity that will introduce another parity game, because three wasn't enough, clearly, so that I called a repeating parity. And I solve this repeating parity by iterating a computation of weak parity. And then I iterate the repeating parity computation to get to finite array parity. So repeating parity is defined by Eve wins if after each odd color there is a, well, not good there. There is a smaller even color. So as in a finite array parity, there is no notion of order. You don't look the same thing if you see first a zero, then a one, or a one, then a zero. But there is no notion of repeating things. Here, if you see just one time a one, and then no matter what you see, there's no problem, Adam has one. On the other hand, if you see a zero, even if you already seen a zero, if Adam sees a one and then nothing else, just two, then Adam still wins. So that's again asymmetric. So to solve this game, you just compute the winning region for a weak priority game. So it's done by computing the attractor for Eve of zero. Then in the remainder of the game, the attractor for Adam of one. Then you go on this way. And all the regions that are in red here are winning for Adam, because it can just go here, it can just go to one, then just manage to avoid zero. Same thing here, it can just go to three and avoid zero and two. And weak if a play is winning for weak parity for Adam, it's obviously winning for Adam too in repeating parity, because if you don't see a smaller even color before or after, obviously you don't see a smaller even color after. So the winning region of Adam is winning in repeating parity, but the attractor of this winning region is also winning for Adam in repeating parity, because whatever you saw before, if you are going to see a one and nothing smaller after that, then you're done. So the computation is done this way. You compute weak parity, then you remove Adam's winning region on its attractor, and you restart the computation on the remaining graph. You do that and so on and so forth. That was the way. And you finally end in a graph that looks that way. Just zero on its attractor. Then in outside of it, there is no one, but there is two on its attractor. It should be Eve here and here. I'm sorry. So just the two on its attractor for Eve. Outside of it, there is no three, but there is four on its attractor, and outside of it, there is no five, and so on. And the point is that Eve wins everywhere in weak parity. She wins everywhere in repeating parity, because her strategy will just be to go to the smallest even color that she can reach. Because if she's anywhere, then by doing it, she can go to six, or Adam can go here, but she will go to four, or Adam can go here, but she will go to two, or here, and she will go to zero, and Adam cannot do anything. And with playing this strategy, you guarantee that after less than n move, you will have seen, you will have reached one of these regions, and when we reach one of these for the first time, the smallest color you have seen on the path is even, and it's the one you're in. So just by repeating it, you guarantee that you're winning in repeating parity. So the complexity is quite low. Number of transitions, time number of color, time number of states. And in the same fashion, you can solve a finite Turing parity by iterating repeating parity resolution, but the other way around. So you get your graph, you compute the winning region for Eve in repeating parity, and you say that if you win in repeating parity, you also win in finite Turing parity, because here you got one. In less than n moves, you will see the smaller even color. So the bound of the finite Turing parity, which was missing, is achieved. So this region will also be winning in finite Turing parity. And as a finite Turing parity is prefix independent, you can take the attractor and just say that this is winning for E. And so you iterate on the remainder of the graph. You compute the same thing. So you may get another region that is winning for Eve, because you have removed arrows for Adam. But at some point, you will end with a game that is fully winning for Adam. Adam wins everywhere. And now we know that Adam will also win in finite Turing parity. So the strategy is put here, but I can just explain on it here. So to win in finite Turing parity, you just use your strategy in RP, repeating parity, until you see an odd color and nothing after. And then you just wait during B move. B is an infinite memory you keep. And in these B moves, you won't see a smallest even color. But you have not won already, because you must repeat the one and these things. So you just increase B and go back to one. When you're going back to one, you will cross a zero, but it's no problem, because you've got something that is no problem for Adam, because he can wait for longer and longer before seeing the zero. So we won't have the bound problem. So For finite array game, finite array street game, it's just the same. You just have several modifications to do. So instead of introducing repeating priority games, you just take the request response games that Valmeyer, Uten, and Thomas kindly defined beforehand. You replace the n bound by a k times n bound, and you've got a new complexity that is much better. And you've got also another benefit, because if just needs k times 2 to the k, actually, instead of k2 times 2 to k, end of the quote mark, in memory. I wonder what it was. So, for future work, I'm now looking for optimal strategies for street game, and especially finite story street game. I'd like to find an algorithm for finite story street that use a weak street instead of error games. And finally, I'd like to find an extension to Mula games. So, a small bibliography for those interested. Thank you very much.
What about the stochastic version of those games?
Well, stochastic version is quite strange, because when you're stochastic, you will have something like an attractor, a stochastic attractor. When you will say, if I go infinitely often to randomized state, I will end in by going to where I want. But the thing is that you will also have sequences where these tries will fail longer and longer. So you might have
some. Talk about expectation.
Yeah, you could do by expectation, but it could be done. But I'm not sure.
So you don't know if you can compute those values or not.
The values of what?
Of the box.
I never tried already, but I don't think it would be very different. My thinking. But.
Can you show back and see what is just for parity? How is your result improved on the chat of the chat of digital?
What
complexity? What is the improvement of?
Oh yeah. Well, their algorithm was they had an algorithm that was in 2 times 2d, this is the more color times thing, and also another proof that it was in np interco np. My algorithm is just in p, so that's better. It's I don't know if I mentioned it, but it was there. N times d times n to the square, with an o before. But, over there.
There are lots of good motivations for studying parity games. For instance, you can reduce every game with a regular winning condition to a parity game. Parity games arise as model checking games for fixed point logics. What can you do with finitary games? I mean, what is the motivation really for studying them?
Well,
games
what?
The game's fatal.
Yes. Well, that's not the point. The point is that in this, I don't have a solution with what you can do with parity. But if you look at it with a request response setting, so here you would just have a response, nothing, and the request. You could say that if you want to make to compute a controller for it, it would be strongly fair in the sense of a street. But the problem that would be that you have to wait longer and longer for to get something. So if you're asking for coffee and getting coffee there, you would be you would be waiting longer, and you could have if you request infinitely coffee, you would have infinitely often coffee served, but you can't ask for coffee more than with any regularity.
I see this on the level of abstract priorities, but is this reflected in a faithful way by the specifications you are really interested in?
I don't know.
So if you formulate the specifications, say in S1S, and does finitary conditions then make any sense? Because I mean, parity game is just an abstract way. It's not the games we.
Yeah, I see it mostly on the error games, and I see error games as a way as a direct way to do specification. So I don't really see it as an abstract way. So I just made it on parity because it was simpler, and I could do both. And what? But no, I just don't really know how it translates to specifications in what's on S1S or something else.
And what about the payoff versions? I mean, if you want to compute delays, then compute
If you want to compute delays, you actually it's what I had in the end about optimization, optimal strategies. And problem is you've got you already have to get optimal solution for a simpler game, and it can be done. I think it can be done. We are working on it, but it's really really huge. But it seems to be doable, but really expensive.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you very much.